I'd like to read, please, in James chapter 4. James chapter 4. I don't know if you've heard the saying, here's a missionary, come, let us kill him. That's what they do to people in Vancouver. Third time around, I apologize. But good to see so many young people. James chapter 4. And older people, George. James chapter 4 and verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. For as ye know not what shall be on the morrow, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Well, here's one of many passages in the Word of God that we usually use on a Sunday night to the unsaved. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf be in time. Life, says James, it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Maybe there is somebody in the meeting tonight and you're still not saved. Life is so short. Life is so fragile. I saw the other day the Weaver shuttle. You know, the computers are taking over, but the Weaver shuttle, that's what the prophet likens life to. It's like the Weaver shuttle. You can hardly see it. And from one second to the next, it's past and gone. That's what our life is like. But James isn't writing to unsaved people. James is writing to Christians. In a minute, he's going to say to them the formula in the Christian life, the attitude of the Christian should be, if the Lord will. Oh, by the way, I don't know if you have ever noticed that a second-hand newspaper was, his name was taken from the Bible, buy and sell. Verse 13, buy and sell. And there's nothing wrong with buying and selling. But James says, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, and there's nothing about God in the picture. You see, what I want to talk for a minute, and it'll be a slice at 10 o'clock. What is your life? Again, if you're not saved tonight, you haven't even started to live. But if you are saved, what is your life? You see, there's nothing wrong with going to school, finishing high school and university and a master's and a PhD. It's not wrong. If you're doing that, I trust you'll be the best in the class. And it's not wrong to get a good job in which you can prove yourself and climb the ladder and get to the top. After all, the Bible is covered with men and women that in their field they were the best. Do you know what is wrong for us that are saved? It's wrong to sail through life and not bring God into the picture. And if that's what you're doing, then it's time to stop and say, what is my life? You see, I know that the will of God for everyone isn't to go to Mexico. Gosh, it wouldn't be a bad idea to have all these people in Mexico. The will of God for you might be very, very different to the will of God for me. But the secret in life is to live in the center of the will of God. You know, like we heard, I lived in Vancouver for 10 years, and never in my wildest dreams could I have imagined 10 years ago what I'm involved in today. You know what I'm really sorry about? Is that back then I didn't have a little more foresight, a little more vision, and that I didn't equip myself better for what I'm doing today. You know, if I could go back and relive life from square one, there's a whole lot of things I would do very, very different. Because now I'm into it up to my neck. And now I realize really all that counts in life. We hear it often, don't we? There's only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. Or another one that has helped me an awful lot in life, a fruitful life. I saw it on the corner of the desk of a man that I deeply appreciate. A fruitful life is not a blaze of sudden glory won. A fruitful life is not a blaze of sudden glory won. It's just an adding up of days in which God's will is done. You know, I suppose every missionary could recount stories as to the strange things that happen in the life of a missionary. What is your life? I just wanted to tell you a little bit about my life, and there are some things that maybe I don't feel free to speak in a wider environment like this afternoon, but and I hope my brethren will understand me. I'm just trying to help younger people. You see, I graduated from university. I got my degree on a Monday. I'd been working through school and so on, but I actually got my degree on a Monday. And on Friday, I got on the plane with four suitcases, a wife, and one boy to go to Mexico. I went into the head of the languages department, and I told her what I was doing. I'm going to Mexico on Friday. She said, What are you going to do in Mexico? I said, I'm going to preach the gospel. She said, David, you know, I know a good psychologist. And I could arrange an appointment. I think she's in her office right now. Going on the mission field, as far as finances are concerned, net loss. I don't know what idea you have of missionary life. It's pretty tight as far as paying the bills. And God knows, and I hope you realize, and I hope my brother know, I'm not begging. But life, you know, it could be so different. Pursuing a degree and going on and all of a sudden I find myself in something so different to what I studied for. You know, one of the many times we had to go in and out of Mexico, went up to the border. I'm not going to repeat that story, but this is another one. The last meeting we were at before coming back, my brother gave me a $5 bill. Put it in my pocket. And away we came. Unexpected car trouble. We spent every bit of cash that we had on us. This is away in the middle of nowhere where the wind turns around in the middle of Mexico. Started up again, and all I had left was that $5 bill. And I had one toll bridge to go, and I knew it was $5. So we kept coming. I knew I could make it on the last tank of gas. I pulled out to pass the car, and the car went out. The car turned off on me. I never did pass him. I pulled over right over to the left. I think he thought it was bonkers. Pulled into a little cardboard place there, and late Saturday afternoon, not a chance in the world I'd find a part, fuel pump it turned out to be. But you know, that Saturday afternoon, a fella stopped and he took another part that I had with me, an extra part, and he went down the road a bit, and he came back with the fuel pump of an American model vehicle. Very strange to find that in the middle of Mexico, out in the middle of nowhere. But with the fan belts that I gave him, he traded in, got my fuel pump, brought it back, put it in. And I thought to myself, you know, life sure is strange. way God helps and supplies and guides. And then I'm just thinking of the fellow that came to the house not too long after that. He sat down in the Chesterfield and he said, David,
and that brings me to this simple conclusion. There are some books and they can handle pictures. And they can tell you all about the scripture. And they can tell you how to dot the I's and cross the T's, but they haven't got a life to back it up. Paul can see this young man, Timothy, if he's going to make it, he has got to do something of these two ingredients together. A life to back up the teaching that he knows. So, beloved brother, tonight, whatever age group you and I may be in, we have a responsibility unbounded before God to get to know the Bible. There's no shortcut to it. There's no crash program. There's no seminary will ever teach you godliness. They might teach you the letter of the word and the doctrines of the word and where it appears and the grammar of it and all the rest of it. But there's only one way to know God, the author of the word, is to spend time alone with him. Do you know why some folk are not continuing today? They haven't taken time to read the word and to make sure that it orders their life and it backs up what they teach. And here's a very solemn principle given. Paul can see that if Timothy is going to be preserved himself, and he's going to see others that he teaches preserved, he has got to teach the doctrine. And thus, the one who would assume the public role must ever be conscious of a given need in any given situation, in any given day. God will direct them to give a ministry that will help people to endure, to continue, to be steadfast in assembly life. Go on for him. What I have noticed, that some folk in the older age group, their dedication, their devotion, their desire for the Lord Jesus, for the scriptures, for the assembly, for the work of God, is absolutely unparalleled. And we thank God for every spiritual brother and sister, for that matter, that has crossed the pathway of those who seek to help God's people. We sit at their feet tonight. We call them blessed. For they have laid down an example that we might follow in their steps as they follow the Lord Jesus. I spoke to a group of young men and young women recently. And I asked a simple question. I'd like to ask it here tonight at this point, before we leave this passage. On this thought of continuing. If the Lord be not come, all things being considered equal, we have health and strength. We have soundness of mind. We are preserved to whatever degree. Where do you see yourself 5 years from tonight? Think that over carefully. I would think it over carefully myself. Beloved, as we view the Vancouver area in the last 5 years, 1900 and 98 tonight. From 1993 to 98, we have to vow and admit before God there are certain folk and they haven't continued. Why? They haven't adhered to the simple pathway and principles and Word of God in any given situation. So, the positive side to answer that is, by the grace of God, whoever doesn't continue, if the Lord be not come and allows us to stay for the next 5 years, I want to make my life count for the Lord Jesus and count for the work of God and count for the assembly and count for the gospel and count for the ministry and count for the pastoral work. Traveling days are done. Enough about that. Now let me go to the next one. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I won't deal with the context save to say that in the first 9 verses of 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul is speaking to his young, genuine child in the faith. He's a man 39 or 40 years of age, or thereabouts. And he's reminding him of the serious times that he will pass through. Well, the first of the chapter says, in the last days, perilous, such difficult times shall come. Men shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God and lovers of self and all the rest of it. And he goes down and he delineates for us and describes conditions, serious conditions. I want to tell you tonight, we're in them right now. When people in high places of this great continent display despicable behavior, I want to tell you, it will rub off on the nation. God's principles don't change. Now then he switches, and in verses 10 and 11, he shows Timothy, his servant, Paul's servant, in a matter of days, he'll be home in heaven. We all know. He would walk out with dignity. A man likely in his middle 60s to go to the place of execution. And he would leave for eternity. That's why he says in chapter 4, the time of my departure is at hand. But then, from verse 12 to the end of the chapter, he shows them the value of the Holy Scriptures. And he introduces that subject by verse 14. I want to quote it to you tonight. And it's, the first scripture is our sisters continuing. The second scripture is the servants continuing. And in the third scripture, it's the saints continuing. Because Timothy is typical of any of us, brethren or sisters. Here's what he says. In a matter of days at the most, Paul will never talk to Timothy again. And amongst his closing words he says, Timothy, evil men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou. But continue thou. Could I get that across tonight to Woodland Drive, to every assembly in the area, to every family that we represent, to all of us tonight? But continue thou. Whatever else you miss tonight of what I have said, don't miss this. Take it home with you. But continue thou. But continue thou. Got it tonight? But continue thy. What in? In the things that thou hast learned. We want to pause a moment. And we want to thank God for every person that has taught us the truth of God over the years. It's over 40 years since we gathered first in the assembly as young men. And we pause tonight on our onward way, and we thank God for every brother in the assembly and every servant of Christ that had the opportunity of teaching us the truth of God. Make the application tonight. We thank God for everyone in the Vancouver area that has been raised of God over these last number of years to teach us the truth of God. Relative to the uniqueness of the assembly of God's people. Relative to the dignity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Relative to the great prophetic program that will yet take place in our world. And I ask you tonight, as I ask my own heart, are you as clear tonight on the uniqueness of God's assembly as you were when you learned the truth at the first day? I'm absolutely astounded at men in my age group and older that have made a flip, and they no longer see the assembly as the unique company gathered to His precious name. With the Lord Jesus Christ in their midst, it's a sad condition. And some that taught us the truth of God years ago, they feel now that they're more liberated, and they see things different. Oh, beloved, tonight, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Are you sure tonight on these matters? We thank God tonight for another section among us who call themselves intellectuals. And we appreciate these dear people, whatever age group they may be in. And some seem to give the image that they know better than their older generation, because they didn't have the opportunity of being an intellectual. And they feel tonight that they must change things. Oh, I would like to say to all of us tonight, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. See, this group are beginning to change. And they're saying, well, I'm not so sure as to what our brethren taught us in a former day is right. I would like to tell you tonight, test it by the Bible. That's the acid test. If it's in the book, I'm prepared to bow to it by His grace. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Where did he learn them? Well, he learned them at the apostles' feet. The Father and the faith that brought him to Christ. Thus tonight, I could stand here and tell you name after name after name of men that we revere their memory, that took the time to take young men and young women into their confidence and to teach them the truth of God, and they had a life themselves to back it up. God help us tonight, beloved brethren, in the Vancouver area. We might as well be honest. We're losing ground. And numbers are not everything. I'm not so much thinking about that. We need personnel. We can't run an assembly without personnel. But there's a wind of change in our teaching. Oh, brethren, God help us to stop tonight. Take heed to what Paul said to Timothy. That he's going to stay the course. He's going to finish. But continue thy in the things that thou hast learned. I hope we'll continue tonight. And has been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned it. And thus he goes into the value of the Holy Scriptures, which is most profitable tonight, but I'm going to leave that. There's somebody else up here. Follow up. Words to our hearts tonight. You won't forget who you want. To endure. To last. To stay the course. To be in a settled condition in your mind relative to the truth of God. Well, the first passage tells us that our sisters have a responsibility to continue. And the servants have a responsibility to continue. And the saints have a responsibility to continue. So the little message tonight can be summed up in these words. But continue thy. The Lord stir our hearts to live for him who died and rose again for us.